it to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Well, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong,
strong.
I am invincible,
invincible.
I am one.
All right, Friar Phil here with you. For podcast number two, there's a good reason why I'm playing Helen Reddy and I Am Woman. Something very special happened in baseball, in Major League Baseball, back on Monday between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's. I'm going to read you a little bit of an article from the USA Today paper. It says, during the late innings of the team's game against the A's, Kapler, that's the manager now of the San Francisco Giants and staff, assigned assistant coach Alyssa Nacken to coach first base, a moment rich in symbolism and emblematic of a growing movement within the game. COVID-19 waylaid so many hopes and plans and storylines baked into the 2020 season, including one narrative that's a long time coming. This was to be the year of the woman in baseball. So congratulations to her for making a little bit of baseball history, albeit during the summer camp games and not during the regular season. But who knows, we might see her coaching again at first base. You never know what's going to happen when you have 60 games you're playing. And I think it's about time, too. The New York Yankees broadcast team has John Sterling and Susan Waldron. This one's getting me like the Wingding. Wingding, whatever the fuck his name is. Susan is the play-by-play. Not the play-by-play, but the color analyst for John Sterling, just like our Jesse Agler is the color analyst for Ted Leitner. And I think in baseball, we're going to see more and more women taking on more prominent roles, because I think it's time. You know, we have a lot of people on Padres Twitter that are not just males, but they're female baseball fans. And it's about time we have a little bit more female stuff going on. Yeah, and I think in the future, as broadcasters, especially on radio, retire, we'll see more and more women stepping up into that role of color analyst or even play-by-play. I mean, Susan does a fantastic job. If you ever listen to the Yankees games on the radio, she's just fantastic. She can take on any man she wants. So, again, I think this is really, really a special thing that happened with Alyssa Nacken being able to coach first base and being the first woman to be on a baseball field in Major League Baseball. And I just wanted to start with that today. All right, let's go with our guest first, and we'll start with that today. And I have my partner in crime here at home, Gabriel, with me. He works for Aramark. Aramark subcontracts with the San Diego Padres, so when there's fans in the stadium, or even if there's no fans, these are the folks that clean up after us pigs, you know, us fans that throw our peanut shells all over the floor, spill soda, spill beer, etc., mess up the bathrooms. it's a whole myriad of stuff that these people have to deal with, and I don't think they get proper recognition during the season. We you know, talk about the GSRs, those are the ushers that tell you where your seat are, you know, and other people that are connected with the Padres, but these people are never talked about, the people that clean up. So, Gabriel, nice to have you here with me on the Friar Phil podcast.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, and you're fine, and yes. I want to start with you just telling me about what it is you guys do on an average day. If you say there's fans in the stadium, what do you do on an average day for just a regular game?
On an average day, we help set up everything 3 hours before the game. And we help out, you know, set up the trash cans, anything that's dirty, anything that needs to be dried on the seating bowl, check the bathrooms. We do all sorts of things.
And that's before the game. Now, during the game, which fan base is the worst to clean up about? And if you could tell us some stories about horror stories about, you know, things you've found thanks to fans, especially in the bathrooms. I recall you telling me lots of stuff about disasters in the bathrooms and what these people that come to the baseball game do. It's just absolutely incredible to me that they do it. You know, let us go to their house and piss on their wall, you know, goddamn pigs, especially when they get drinking. So tell me a little bit about that. You know, what's the worst fan base you have to clean up about, and what are some of the worst things you encountered?
The worst thing I've encountered with the Dodgers, the worst is the toilet seat's been broken. They break that. When they used to give the towels, the big towels, years before, they just clogged the toilet. They would get into fights where we have to clean up whatever, you know, bile's there or anything like that. And just no respect about anything else.
And I find that so unbelievable that, well, first of all, you know, I'm not a big proponent of alcohol at a 3-hour baseball game. I don't understand, I guess it's addiction or whatever, but why somebody would need to get drunk as a skunk during a goddamn baseball game that lasts 3 hours. You're going to do that, do it at home. Break your own toilet seat. Piss on your own floor. You know, you drunk bastards. Vomit in your own house. Don't come to the stadium and do that, because, you know, these people like Gabriel, they're the ones that have to clean up after your dirty ass. Right?
Right. And it's not just a couple of people. We have maybe like 25 or 30 employees around the whole park, or maybe more. And they do also graffiti. They graffiti inside the handicap stalls. They write their graffiti on there.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And this is some of the stuff you don't hear about. When you go to the stadium, it's kept really clean. These guys do a great job keeping Petco Park clean and nice for us. And when you're there, you don't really think about what they do, or you don't really think about, you know, even I have been guilty of this, thinking about who has to clean up after my ass, after, you know, I throw a soda cup on the floor, or I'm eating peanuts and I'm throwing peanut shells around on the floor. You know, somebody's got to clean this up. And these are like some of the unsung heroes, I think, of Petco Park, you know, with what you do and what your coworkers do. Because if it wasn't for you all, we wouldn't have the clean, beautiful Petco Park that we have. What are some of the other teams that are fan bases that are like hard to clean up after?
The second team, I think, will be the Milwaukee Brewers. And they just I don't know what it is, but they just like to drink beer, and they drink beer, and they love to drink.
Well, Milwaukee is like the beer capital of the world. Brewers, they were named, you know, after brewers, breweries. So I guess it stands to reason they drink a lot of beer. So what happens when a lot of them get sick, vomit, fall down?
There's just a lot of beer spills all over the floor. There's bile, like Howie said, and they just, and they, some of them just have to take them out of the park, you know, because they've been drinking so much.
It's crazy, and I've been around people like that too, that just really drunk, and the cops had to come remove them. That was primarily during Dodgers games. I don't recall any problems with Brewer fans around me during a Brewers game. And you mentioned one other one too earlier when we were talking.
This was my experience with the Diamondbacks. Somebody bought some soda, the big cups, and so they spill things on the seating bowl, you know, where the people sit, and they just spill drinks there, and they just want everything to be really nice and clean and everything. So they tell them, call these people so they can come and clean it up, and they call different people to come and clean up where they're sitting.
And I guess I'm talking about this today and bringing you onto the podcast to talk about this because I think we all as fans need to be more conscious of what we do as far as throwing our garbage around. There are garbage cans for recycle. There's garbage cans for regular stuff that are in most areas around the park, and they're there to use. You know, how much more difficult will it be when you finish your soda and you don't want your cup to just get your ass up and walk over to a garbage can as opposed to throwing it on the ground? Again, I'm not trying to come off like a saint because, you know, I have been guilty of doing that as well as a fan at a baseball game and not really thinking about, you know, the people that have to clean it up. But, you know, afterwards, a little guilt comes in because I think about what you do at work, and it's just like, well, maybe he'll have to clean up after my messy ass. I wanted to ask you about the recycle and the trash. You've mentioned that before to me as well, where people just can't seem to figure out what's recycle and what's trash. And what happens when people mix it together? Do you all have to sort it out, or what happens with that?
We used to be, after the game, after everything is over with, we'll go to a special area, and we would, you know, wear gloves and just protective. We separate the trash from the recycle, and we still put the recycle in a different white bag or something. And it was just horrible. We stood there like maybe 2 hours after the game, or three sometimes. We used to do that.
That's incredible. Incredible that somebody can't figure out which is the recycle bin and which is the regular garbage bin. What's the worst thing? You've been there. This is your 13th season with the Padres, working with Aramark. What's the worst thing you ever encountered in that 13-year period? The absolute worst.
I was doing I was cleaning up some bathrooms over there by left field. I think this was the worstest thing. I had a radio with me. I called my dispatch. Somebody was fighting in front of each other. They were just at it. They were. I'm not sure what it was, but they were fighting, and it was like maybe my second year or third year, and I was like, I didn't know what to do about it. But that was like something. This I remember that. And the worst thing is that how they destroy my bathrooms, my dispensers and my toilet, you know, anything inside the toilet, you know, they destroyed it. You know, they just break it.
And I don't understand that. again, you know, it's a 3-hour ball game. Maybe you're at the park if you come early for 4 hours, 5 hours or so. But why the fuck do you need to break things in bathrooms and do all that sort of shit? You know, what kind of pigs are you? Goddamn idiots, you know? I can see somebody sitting there and watching the game and throwing the peanut shells on the ground. But when it comes to breaking shit in the bathroom, what the fuck is wrong? What's the problem with you people? And I'm not saying you, the listener, is one of those people, but just in general, you know, just totally disrespectful, nasty people that don't really give a fuck about who has to clean it up. And I think as fans and good fans, like I'm sure you are, the listener, we need to keep that in mind more when we are allowed to go back into the stadiums again, maybe next year. Think about, you know, the people who work for Aramark, who are subcontracting with the Padres, who have to clean up after our messes. And it's going to get tiresome after a while.
Yeah. And I just want to see, there's three shifts. There's event shift. What I do, I work the event. I work the ball game. I work during, before and during the game and after. And then there's night crew. And then there's morning crew. So there's 24, there's 24/7 almost. For every game, there's people working even after us.
And like I said, they're the unsung heroes, I think, of Petco Park, because they present us with a park that's beautiful. It's been called the number one baseball park in America out of all the teams. And we have a gorgeous, beautiful park. So I don't understand how somebody can come to the park and destroy things or drink to the point where they're going to puke on somebody. I just don't understand that concept. And I hope by having you on for a little bit today, people will start thinking a little bit more about what they do when they're at the park and maybe using the garbage can instead of the floor for their garbage. Okay, Gabriel, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
And it was an interesting conversation. All right. And it looks like the Padres have released their opening day roster. And the question was last night whether or not Joey Lucchesi and Cal Quantrill would be the fifth starter or be a platoon of sorts where one would work about 3 or 4 innings and then the other one would come in. Now, that still might happen, but Jay Stengler is gone with a 5-man rotation. Chris Paddock, Denilson Lamet, Garrett Richards, Zach Davies, and then Joey Lucchesi gets the nod for the fifth starter. Dennis Lynn put up something on Twitter just now. He says, Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, and the rest of the players not on the Padres opening day roster will continue working out at USD, San Diego's alternate training site. He also says Luis Torrens will be the Padres taxi squad catcher for road trips. So that's what's happening with the pitchers with the Padres, and I think we've got a good pitching staff. It's pretty solid all the way through. Joey Lucchesi needs to work a little bit more on the command of his fastball, but other than that, he did real good last night. Now, Major League Baseball, I don't see anything as of the time of this podcast when I'm recording it, that they were trying to decide whether they want to expand the number of playoff games. Now, on the one hand, that would be good for the Padres because it would give us another extra chance to get in as a wild card and get into the playoffs themselves. But since the beginning, the whole concept of expanding the playoffs never appealed to me. I could understand when we broke up into three different divisions, needing a wild card team to play one of the other three teams, you know, so it balanced out. I could understand that and see that, and I felt that was fair, bringing in another team that's the not necessarily the top team in their division, but, you know, maybe one just below. But now we bring in other teams, and it just doesn't seem fair. You know, the postseason and the World Series and everything is supposed to be the best of the best that have shown that they were the best during that particular season. But now we can have a wild card team that, you know, maybe have, like, in their division, the third or fourth best record, going to the final playoffs and maybe even the World Series or winning it. And it just doesn't seem fair. You know, they want these playoff games expanded for only one reason: not to make baseball better, not to make the fan experience better, but to get more television revenue. That's what they'll get, you know, when there are more playoff games to be televised. And I don't want the goddamn baseball season ending up like the basketball season. It seems like it takes forever for a fucking basketball to reach the end point of their playoffs. And I don't want that with baseball. And maybe I'm just too much of a traditionalist, and I'd like to hear how you guys feel about it as well. But I'm not really big on expanding the playoffs any more than they are right now. So that's my take on that. And I just want to bring up one more thing before we close the podcast. Will Myers and, of course, Hedges, and to a lesser extent, I would say our first baseman. And I think it's time they either shit or get off the pot, really. I mean, how many years has it been since Will Myers has done anything good? I mean, he's, what is he, 29 now? And Hedges, yeah, he's a great catcher and all, but, you know, we need his bat to work. He did a good job last night with a bunt, and that was good to see. But these guys got to produce a little bit more. And it kind of, you know, it's getting to the point where they come up, and I expect the worst. You know, we've got two outs and men on base, and here comes Austin Hedges up, and I'm expecting, you know, a strikeout or a pop-up, just the worst. The same with Will Myers, you know. I'm not anticipating something good happening. I'm just sitting there crossing my fingers that something good will happen. So they need to really, like I said, shit or get off the pot and start fixing whatever it is that's broken with them. Speaking of broken, now we've got opening day tomorrow, and I've got mixed feelings about it. I'm excited, a little bit nervous, but I'm also a little bit down. I don't want to put a damper on it. You know, it's still opening day. It's still finally some baseball for us to talk about after that drought of no baseball for, what, 4 months or so? So that's the good thing. But the bad thing for me with this whole coronavirus thing and no fans at the stadium is none of the things I had been looking forward to in March for opening day in April are going to occur. There's no street party behind the stadium that will occur tomorrow. Ben and Woods, you know, they were going to do some live broadcasting and remote broadcasting down in the gas lamp, and I was going to show up and we were going to do, you know, funny things and stuff and talk about opening day. And then, you know, it would be time to go into the park, which is the exciting part about opening day, too, because you wait to go in and give your ticket, and you go find your seat, and you're anticipating all the bells and whistles and exciting things that happen on a opening day at any ballpark, but particularly here at Petco Park, and then the game begins. We have none of that this year. We have the television and we have the radio. And again, I'm glad that we have baseball, because it gives me something to talk about. It certainly gives Ben and Woods and the other shows on 97.3 The Fan stuff to talk about. But there is part of me that's kind of sad that we can't experience an opening day like we're used to experiencing it. But if that means less people get sick, if less people get the coronavirus, then that's good, because Californians get to be on the top of the list as far as cases of coronavirus are concerned. We still have dumbass people that run around. I did a video the other day about that, run around with their nose hanging out of their mask. You know, these are the goddamn stupid people that keep perpetuating this pandemic and keeping people sick. So we have to have an opening day where we're not there. You know, if everybody would just follow the goddamn rules, wear the mask. You know, the mask is to protect other people from you and your germs, not just you from other people. If people would just do that, maybe we could get a handle on this pandemic, but right now we don't, because we've got stupid people that run around with their nose hanging out of their mask, or these goddamn idiots, you're taking my civil liberties away by telling me to wear a mask. Fuck you, you know? Fuck you, you selfish bastards. Wear your fucking mask. Unbelievable. So with that, I'm going to leave it for today. Again, I want to apologize for not having Steve Woods on, but scheduling and all the things he's had to do with the radio station and stuff in preparation for tomorrow is quite overwhelming for him, and I didn't want to add another thing to his list, so we both agreed we'll do the podcast next week. Okay, and I appreciate y'all listening. Looks like it's time to get out of here and keep it short. Nobody wants to listen to me for more than a half hour anyhow, I suspect. You have yourself a great, great day, and I'll talk to you next time.